Okay, so we're winding down our preparations here on the Jets. Good day today, and then walk through tomorrow. Be ready to go on Sunday. So, big, good test for us. It's a good test for us.
The Jets have three successful, I guess you'd say, fake punts. But are they really fake punts? I mean, in terms of, it seems like teams are playing more of their base defense, even against their punting unit. I mean,
so. I think it's situational. Like so much of the punting game is, it's so much of it situational. Fourth and one, fourth and three, they were both backed up on those, and then last week it was against Indianapolis. It was a plus 50, the fake pass to Ballard. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that they've seen more defense in the other games, defensive personnel on the field in punting situations, unless it's, you know, a plus 50 situation, then that's where you really, you know, you're not going to be able to return the ball. Then you see a little more of it then. But, yeah, I mean, you definitely got to be aware of it. They've run three in, what, six games, so I'm sure they've got another one in, so.
Good situational stuff at the end of last night's game. I don't know if you happen to either see it or catch up on it.
No, I didn't.
Okay. Just was going to ask you if you were curious on like, if I can lay it out to you, what happened. It was 13-6, so a seven-point game, and 49ers got a safety, but Harbaugh waved it off because it was fourth down. Gets the ball back. Seattle didn't have timeouts, so he took points off the board. Take a knee, run out the clock. But as we've seen, take a knee, things can happen on that too. So I was curious your thoughts just more on the situational aspect.
No, that's interesting. Yeah, I haven't seen too many of that, those. Yeah, well, I'm sure Jim, you know, had a reason for, you know, what he did there and wanted to end the game that way. So take a look at it.
All of us see this as a rivalry week. Do you hate the Jets?
You know, we have a competition each week against whoever the next team on our schedule is, and so whoever that is, that's who we compete against. It's nothing personal; it's just competition.
Do you notice anything different from your players around the building in a week like this, where you've got a familiar opponent that you've got a lot of history with?
It's a familiar opponent that we have a lot of history with. It's a familiar opponent that we have a lot of history with. There's other teams you can put in that category. Then there's other teams that wouldn't be in that category, like Seattle. So,
Bill, Rex Ryan has said a lot of nice things about you recently, saying you're the best coach in the NFL and head-to-head that you would beat him every time. But he said it kind of with a wink that he would get he would give you his best shot. I'm just wondering what you think of that recent flattery. And is it not nice to get a compliment every now and then from a colleague?
Well, I have a lot of respect for Rex and think we have a good relationship. You know, we see him from time to time at owners' meetings and Indy Combine and stuff like that. So, but, you know, I know on Sunday he'll be doing the best job he can for his team. I'll be doing the best job I can for my team. You know, we'll see what happens. But I think there's good mutual respect there. You know, I have his brother on our staff here, and known his dad for a long time, so it's just competition.
Bill, outside of the 45-3 game that you guys had against them, it seems like even the 37-16 game at New York last year, you know, it was the final score didn't indicate that it was a struggle for a lot of the game.
Yeah, very competitive, absolutely, very competitive.
Where does Rex and Mike Pettine rank in terms of how much trouble they give your passing game, Tom Brady, in terms of looks and schemes and stuff like that? It seems like Tom really has to work in those games against the Jets.
I think we got to work in all our games. They're all tough. So, you know, they always do something a little bit different. They have good players, good schemes, and they always change it up a little bit each week against everybody. Doesn't matter who it is, and go to pretty much every game on the schedule and see something specific for that particular opponent that they have. So That's kind of how they do it. I'm sure they'll do it that way again this week.
Bill looked like last week, Quentin Coupels had his best, most productive game, picked just five spots ahead of Chandler. Is he the guy? Is he a guy that was on your guys' radar around draft time, and sort of what do you see in him in terms of overall ability?
I think he, you know, has had good ability coming out of college. You know, that was a good opportunity for them last week, rushing the passer. They were ahead in the game, and Colts are in a lot of passing situations. They get a lot of pressure on the quarterback, had some interceptions, so they did a good job, you know, in the passing game there all the way around. I think Coupels is a good player. He's got good talent, like any rookie, every rookie. You know, he's got a lot to learn, but you see him getting better. I'm sure he'll be a good player for him.
Bill, one of the benefits, I know that teams that run this stuff, that the Jets do with Tebow, they all say that is that the other team's going to have to prepare for that during the week. How big an element of your preparation is having to deal with that option stuff during a week like this?
It's one of the things we have to work on. I mean, there's things every week. I mean, every team's got whatever it is that they do, plays or formations or personnel or whatever it is. Whatever they do, then we prepare for.
Do you feel like it takes away from other preparation? Because I think that's kind of the idea.
Well, anything that you do that the other team has to prepare for is something they have to prepare for. So if you've done it, I mean, you're going to prepare for it.
Bill, we've talked about you guys being a game plan offense. The idea of being a game plan offense, where was that born for you in terms of that this is the right way to do it compared to, let's say, a team like, I remember you talking about the Steelers when Cowher was there, like, this is what they do and you have to stop it?
I don't know. I guess I've just kind of always had that philosophy of you try to, you know, do what you think works best against that particular opponent, certainly within the framework of what you're comfortable doing. Whether that's offense, defense, or special teams, it's all the same. I don't know. Wayne Harden and Navy, maybe. If you want to go back a ways. You know, Detroit, the Giants. I don't know.
Would you agree with the thought, like, that it's an ambitious thing to try to do because you have to be able to execute at all areas instead of, let's say, a team that, not that they're not trying to execute in all areas, but they might major in one thing?
Right. Well, I mean, when I, like, I'll just give you this example. When I was in high school at Annapolis, I played for Al Larimore, who was, you know, Maryland Coach of the Year, Hall of Fame, high school coach in Delaware, and all that. I mean, so he's pretty good coach. And we won a lot of games. We won a ton of games, and we ran four plays. 22 power, 24 quick trap, 28 counter, and sprint right. And that was it. And when we ran them to the other side, we just flipped the formation. The whole line flipped, and the play went the other way. 22 power, 24 quick trap, 28 counter, sprint left. That was the offense. That was the entire offense. And we won a lot of games. And then the next year when I went to Andover and played for Coach Sirota there, who, again, was a great player, great coach, played with Lombardi at Fordham, and was one of the most renowned coaches, I'd say, ever in New England prep school football, or maybe high school football, period, for that matter. Quarterback called his own plays. Milt Holt called his own plays. They didn't send him in. They didn't tell him what to call. Milt got in a huddle, and he might ask for a suggestion from, you know, me or Ernie or somebody, or he'd call whatever he wanted to call. And that was the offense. So that was about as opposite as you could get it in from one year to the next year. We won just as many games. It was totally different, but both were very successful. So what's the right way to do it? What's the wrong way to do it? Well, I don't know. Whatever works, whatever you believe in. But then it all has to line up that way. Got to Baltimore with Coach Marchabrota, Bert Jones. Bert called all the plays. It was his, I want to say, his second year in the league. He called all the plays. Call timeout, come over to the sideline, fourth and one. Bert say, what do you want me to call? Ted say, well, we got 24 hunch, we got 36 bob, we got play pass, 37 Y flag. Whatever you feel good about. All right. And other players and coaches that come up and say, oh, what are we going to run? I don't know. Depends on what Bert calls. And there's other teams, you know, Coach Perkins, Coach Parcells, those guys called every play. I mean, not that we went audible to a play or something, but you called every play. So what's right, what's wrong? I don't know. You know, it can all work. If you do it right and you have the other things, that, you know, if you do it one way, you got to have other things that are in place to do that. There's a reason for doing it. There's also some drawbacks to doing it that way. So when that happens, you got to have some way to counter it. And that's same way on defense. When I was with the Broncos and Joe Collier, there was game plans where we had 60 different fronts. It's hard to imagine 60 different fronts, really, in a 3-4 defense, but that's what it was. It was like 60 different alignments, which would include a linebacker that was blitzing. So any one of the four linebackers are blitzing, so I guess that's, that was part of it. Got to the Giants. When Bill came in, we put in a 3-4 there. We played one front with one adjustment. We reduced the end on the weak side from a 4 technique to a 3 technique, and that's it. And I'd say 95% of the snaps that we played from 81 to 90 that weren't nickel snaps, over 90% of them had to be either base or reduced front. Maybe 95%. I don't know. It might have been higher than that. So, two good defenses. The Orange Crush, the Broncos defense, I mean, it was a great defense. Giants defense, that was a great defense. Same 3-4, two totally different philosophies. So, what's the right way to do it? I mean, I don't know. Both work.
Is that why you are kind of a combination of all the people who you've played for or coached with these days when you chose to do this?
It's hard to say, Tom, because I think my first 5 years in the league was a different head coach every year with a lot of different assistant coaches in that, obviously, group, you know, from Baltimore to Detroit to a new coaching staff in Detroit to Denver to the Giants to actually a couple of years later, a new coaching staff of the Giants, you know, when Bill came in and all that. So, you know, my first few years in the league, different head coaches, different coordinators, different assistant coaches. There was a lot of good things from a lot of them, and it all, you know, kind of, I wouldn't say I was overly influenced by one person or another person or some people. I would say I was influenced to the point of, well, if I ever coach that position or if I'm ever in charge of this, I'm never going to do it that way. You know, I mean, there's some of that too, you know, but then there was also plenty of things that I did learn, and it was, I mean, a little bit like that, you know, at Navy. I mean, there were different coaches that went through there. Coach Harden, Coach Corso, and even after I had grown up and left there, like Coach Saban and, you know, people like that that were there, that Coach Johnson, when he came in and, you know, ran all the option stuff, you know, just being around those people and all that, you learn different things, different ways of doing it, different ideas. So it's probably influenced a little bit by everybody. Besides my dad, that was a constant, but I mean, there was so many other coaches involved, and I was able to have the opportunity to observe or spend time with, or either be in meetings or on the field and watching them coach and that kind of thing. Football camps, you know, my dad ran a football camp every summer, so there was another dozen coaches there, some of whom were Navy, but plenty of other ones were from other colleges and other associations that he had. So, I mean, I've worked with and observed a lot of coaches coach. So, I don't know. It's kind of a menagerie.
Bill, you mentioned Buddy earlier. How come we don't see more 46 defense today? I'm not talking about for a full season. Not everybody's the 85 Bears, but like in a one-game situation. Is it the quarterbacks, the adjustments, and prevalence of the shotgun that's kind of made it tougher?
Well, a lot of the success that Buddy had with the 46 defense came in the 80s when it was a lot of two-back offense. And that was one of the things really probably that drove the two-back offense out. And if you remember back in the 80s when Buddy was at Philadelphia, you know, he had a lot of trouble with the Redskins and their one-back offense. A lot of trouble. You know, there was a lot of, you know, mismatches of, you know, Art Monk and Gary Clark on the middle linebacker and, you know, stuff like that. So I think that's, you know, the 46 is really, I think it was really originally built for two-back offenses, whether it be the, you know, red, brown, blue, you know, the flat-back type offenses or eventually even the I formation. And I think it still has a lot of good application there. A lot of teams use it in goal line situations. They either use a five, you know, a version of it, like a 5-3 or, you know, cover the guards in the center and then, you know, however you want to quite fit the rest of it. But that principle, you see that a lot in goal line, short yarded situations. You see it in, you know, some teams have it as part of their, I would say, their two-back defensive package. As it's gone to one back and it's gotten more spread out, then kind of would, if you're playing that, it kind of forces you defensively to be in a one linebacker set. You lose that second linebacker, and then depending on where the back lines up and what coverage you're playing, then there's some issues with that. So if you're in a one linebacker defense and, you know, you move the back over and the linebacker moves over, then you're kind of out leveraged to the backside. If you don't move them over, then you're kind of out leveraged with the back releases and, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, you know, there's some issues there that you'd have to, I'm not saying you can't do it, you got to work them out. When in a two-back set, it was, I'd say, probably a lot cleaner, and it always gave you an extra blitzer that it was hard for the offense. Even if they seven-man protected on play action, there was always an eighth guy there somewhere. So, you know, if you didn't have to bring all eight, if you just brought the right one, then either they didn't have them or somebody would have to have two guys, and, you know, that created some problems. And I think that's what Buddy really, where kind of the genius of that was he had, by formation, he had a different combination and group of blitzes, so that depending on what your formation you were in, then he ran a blitz that would attack that formation. And then when you change formations, then he would change blitzes. And, you know, now, you know, plus the fact we had, you know, Dan Hampton, Richard Dent, Mike Singletary, Wilson, Marshall, you know, that was a pretty good group there that, I, you know, you could have probably played a lot of things and that defense would look pretty good, you know, especially when they put Hampton on the nose. It's pretty unblockable.
Everybody even. How much thought has gone into that this week?
None.
Make sure you guys get some.
None. Just trying to go out and win a game. We can't do anything about the standings. All we can do is what we can do this week is go out and try to beat the Jets. That's all we're worried about. Okay. All right. Thanks.